today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Harvey Levin here.
Charlie Neff here.
Courtney here.
Derek here.
A lot of drama.
You didn't even want us to finish our name.
I want to start
the only one introduction.
Other people are here than you, Harvey.
I'm sorry. I've just been working on this thing all weekend, and I want to talk about
it. All right, let's hear it.
Holy smokes. This thing with Kanye.
Oh my gosh.
It is not going well over at the Kardashian family home. So it was Chicago's birthday over the weekend. She turned 4. There is a custody thing going on with him. But I think it's deeper than custody. I think this really has to do with divorce.
Yes.
Yeah, the sting of the separation.
Yeah.
One party still wanting to be married, one party not wanting to be married.
Right. So there was a party for Chicago that Kim threw at Kylie's house.
It was Chicago's and Stormy's.
It was a joint birthday.
Right. Yes.
An understated affair, right?
So Kanye was off the rails angry because he said he wasn't invited to the party. And, you know, when you first listen to it, it's like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's his kid. And Kim has always said, we want to co-parent. So here's what he says. This was early on Saturday when this whole thing started to unfold.
Just wishing my daughter a public happy birthday. I wasn't allowed to know where her party was. There's nothing legal that's saying that these are the kind of games that's being played.
At the light,
it's the kind of thing that really has affected my health for the longest. I'm taking control of my narrative this year. I'm being the father, the best father, the yay version of a father. I'm just putting this online because I need y'all's support. I didn't call Kim, text the nannies. I got on the phone with Tristan. He said, he asked Chloe, won't nobody give me the address to my daughter's birthday party right now? And that's going to imprint in her mind that I wasn't there for her.
So he was angry.
Yeah.
Now, Kim is saying, She said, look, this is a misunderstanding. I thought you were going to have a second party for Chicago. And so, you know, you can come to the party. That's fine. So he does, right?
Yeah, but was he really supposed to have a second party for Chicago? Like, is that true? Has he ever said that?
But even if that was the case, like, he should still be allowed to come to Kim's party.
But why did he say that Travis and Kylie had to let him into the party if Kim was like, hey, it's fine to come?
Because
there seems to be a lot of drama. It seems like Kim is sort of crafting this whole narrative, and Kanye has his own version of things, and it's all public. Because if you poke Kanye, he goes right online. And that's the thing about Kanye and this divorce. We'll see all the nastiness because Kanye can't help himself.
But I didn't feel this was as, like, off rails as some of the other comments. I felt this was justified. Like,
yeah, but
he
this
wants
is
to
coming
see his daughter for her birthday.
But this is coming right after those lyrics released from My Life Isn't Easy about him saying that he survived to kick Pete Davidson's ass. Like, he's come out, like, recently, and, like, he's been doing a lot of stuff with Julia Fox. Like, it's, like, a heated moment for them right now. So I could see her not wanting him to be there and wanting it to be separate and to set boundaries.
Well, he showed up and said he had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And
we saw with Chris there.
And he's, like, in the videos, like, holding Chicago with the, like, pinata. He's, like, holding her up, like, really involved.
Pinata.
It looks civil. It looks civil. I mean, he was there in his full,
well, you,
like,
never saw him
in
Kim.
Well, you did. There's one frame where you see Kim and Kanye, but they're separate.
Right.
Yeah.
So there is a big hint about the tension here by what Kanye said after he left the party.
Yo, I'm so happy right now. I just came from Shy's party. I just got a shout out to Travis Scott for sending me the address and the time. Kylie let me in right when I got to the spot because the security, you know, stopped me once again when I got there. And, you know, it's just a matter of just having a conversation. Let me just calmly and legally take control of my narrative. My life centers around my children. And I just had a great time today. Thank everybody for their support. Peace.
Say clear dig at Kim, right?
Yes,
definitely.
To say your sister and her boyfriend had to let me in, or Travis, whatever they
because security stopped me again. Because there was also another story that he said over the weekend that he picked up North from school recently and she wanted him to go up to the house, but he wasn't allowed in the house because Pete Davidson was there.
But Pete wasn't
says,
there. Yeah.
But, yeah. And Kim was like, Pete was never there. Pete's never been to my house. So who, like, there's two different, completely different
Well,
sides
you
of the
can
story.
Understand. Look, here's the thing about that. Before we get into the Pete Davidson thing, mm-hmm. I think what we need to really underscore is he thanked Travis. He thanked Kylie.
Chris.
He thanked Chris.
Yes. He thanked the security personnel for a lot. Yes. I mean, everyone got to thank you.
He never mentioned Kim.
At no. all.
That conspicuous. Speaks volumes.
But she is trying to establish boundaries, right? It's kind of a tricky situation when your ex is so involved in your life that you want to be able to live your own life and not have to worry about Kanye bursting into the house unannounced if you are with somebody.
Well, but that wasn't the case with the birthday party. He just said, I want to go to the birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And but with Pete, Kim is saying, I've never had Pete Davidson over at this house.
Yes.
And he's not this there at the house. Birthday party, because if there. He had, it would have been Volcano.
Oh, it would have been
right? Well, he was in New York doing Saturday Night Live.
Sure, sure. He couldn't be there, but I also think she probably didn't want him there, right? Because Kanye's at a very volatile sort of state. He's always sort of on the edge, but if one of those triggers happens at an event with family, it could get...
I mean, look, when you divorce, you get your marital status restored to single, but what you don't get is undoing the parental relationship, and they're going to have a relationship for the rest of their lives. They have four kids, and there are going to be school events, there are going to be proms and weddings and all sorts of things, they're never untangled.
And that's what's so weird, because you see Courtney and Scott in that like family too, and they co-parent so well. They still go to like all these events together, like when the kids were growing up. So it's so like weird to see like Kim and Kanye not like be co-parenting together. I feel like that's what the Kardashians have always been known for. Like we even just heard in that first clip that
Tristan.
Yeah, that Tristan and Khloé were still talking, and that he knew where the birthday party was, and he just had a baby with someone else.
Yeah.
Like
how does Tristan get the invite, but like, Kanye doesn't?
Tristan still has all the details, but not Kanye, and he didn't even tell Kanye the details of where the party was because he's on thin ice with Khloé.
Yes,
and that's like what my takeaway was.
This is a minefield.
I mean, this is really a minefield.
Okay. Speaking of... Minefield.
Oh. What one's worse, actually?
Okay, so Jamie Lynn and Brittany. I want to start with this. I think there is now an opening for reconciliation based on what they said over the weekend.
Right.
And as nasty as it got, it turned. But let's start with what...
The nastiness.
Because,
the precursor. Yeah.
Because you have to. That Britney has had this narrative since June, you know, where she spoke out in court and lashed out against her whole family, including Jamie Lynn, saying that Jamie Lynn was never there for her, saying Jamie Lynn profited off of the conservatorship and her. And Jamie Lynn, who now has a book out, did not back down and said, Britney, you've been lying about this relationship. I have supported you. I have reached out to you. You have been, as Jamie Lynn said, paranoid.
Well, also one of the excerpts in the book was Jamie Lynn had described this moment where Britney Spears had a knife, locked her and Jamie Lynn in a bathroom, and was like saying that she was scared, and a really traumatic moment and pretty juicy detailing in Jamie Lynn's book. But Britney like did not like that at all, came out and said it was a full-blown lie.
And then
Jamie
Lynn came right out and said, you know it's true, and basically said, I have receipts in some of this stuff. So they went back and forth and back and forth. And then it turned. Anybody?
Yeah, so Britney Spears.
I can't.
Britney Spears posted a lengthy post and almost seemed like an olive branch to Jamie Lynn, basically saying that she loves Jamie Lynn unconditionally. She doesn't know why she's making up these lies, but basically explained that no one has been more abusive her parents were way more abusive to Britney than they were to Jamie Lynn.
And Jamie Lynn then came out and said, why are you doing this? Why are you continually basically discarding my feelings and what was going on with me?
Yeah. And she said something important. She said, call me.
Yeah,
she said, call me, which is critical. These are sisters. We've lost all sight because they're warring on social media. One of them's going on Nightline, spilling all this stuff. They are sisters. And Jamie Lynn wanted to turn the temperature down and say, call me. All this public back and forth is not helping our relationship. And I agree with you. I think that's the moment where it turned. Britney opened the door and Jamie Lynn
said,
call me.
Because Britney said at the end of the post that it was tacky to do it.
It is tacky. Yeah. These are two, I mean, they're family. They're absolutely, they need to sort of like cool things down and just talk.
And we've never really seen them even post publicly like this for years and years, that Britney was in the conservatorship, and even Jamie Lynn did not speak out about her sister's conservatorship up until, you know, these past couple months. We've seen Jamie Lynn promoting this book, Britney getting very vocal on social media and having a lot of confidence, and then Jamie Lynn standing up for herself publicly too. It's been very different for the fans to see, and like,
until
wild.
Jamie Lynn though comes out against her father, Britney will never forgive her. And well, they're like, actually, like
they were saying, "I love you, I love you."
Yeah,
and,
but
and that's a big deal. We have not seen that.
No, we haven't. But there's gonna be there's a lot that has to be.
I don't know.
Talked about.
I mean, the interesting thing about this is that Britney has pretty much had a clear path in kind of airing her grievances. And now all of a sudden, Jamie Lynn, you know, rather than saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry," which is what a lot of people thought she was going to do, especially with the title of the book, "Things I Should Have Said."
Yeah.
She is not apologizing. She is saying, "Here's my story."
Right.
And Britney, you're not telling the truth about a lot of this. And they've gone back and forth, but it seems like that may have shaken everybody. And they said, "We shouldn't be doing this because basically we're going to do a social media trial if we don't."
Well, it probably shook Britney at some point when you mobilize the Free Britney Army. You know, Jamie Lynn said she was getting death threats.
And
you, and as no, honestly, as mad as Britney is at Jamie Lynn, and I do believe there's real emotions there, you don't want to see your sister getting threatened by your fans.
Not just
that's
the
not
sister.
A good position
no, her kids, too. She has a 3-year-old and a 12-year-old.
Her nieces and nephews.
Yeah,
Britney's,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? When we did a poll this weekend and said, "Who's lying?" Most people thought Jamie Lynn, but Jamie Lynn got, I think about, it was about 60-40. I was
a
little surprised.
It's a sizable minority.
I was a little bit surprised that, I mean, it was a little more than 40.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a little bit of a horse race.
By the way, Jamie Lynn threatened to release text messages between her and Britney.
It's terrible.
Saying that her and Britney were very cordial in text messages, and the persona that Britney is showing on social media is completely opposite from the one-on-one relationship that they have.
Why are you saying it's terrible?
Because you shouldn't ever threaten that against, like, your sister. You shouldn't.
Well,
like,
what cards hasn't Britney played against her?
Come on, you don't do that. And then also, there was always those stories that Britney Spears, like, didn't have a cell phone for, like, the very longest time. So, like, I don't know if I would ever believe, like, that was, like, really, like, Britney fully texting her on the other side. Because it was always a thing.
Yeah,
Britney doesn't have a cell phone.
You think it was Jamie Spears, like, sending texts as
a Britney impersonator?
Britney Spears always said that she wasn't allowed her a cell phone. Wow. So why would she be given a cell phone to text Jamie Lynn only? Like, that doesn't make sense. It's not a Disney phone. You only get, like, one person.
Oh, my God.
Like, what?
Just a bad phone for a Britney.
Yeah.
So Novak Djokovic is gone.
Derek, this makes Derek so happy
because Derek was predicting that he was going to get deported, right?
Said when the prime minister doesn't want you in the country, he's going to win. And the prime minister is like the president over there. And he said, "I don't want Novak Djokovic."
Oh, thank you. We didn't know that.
Well, apparently some of you guys disregarded that. And you thought some Serbian national was going to stomp his way into a country just because he's good at tennis.
Well, no,
it didn't
because
happen.
He won the first trial.
He won in a court. But when the prime minister and all the forces are aligned against you, it didn't work out. And he got an immigration minister.
But
that guy, Alex Hawke, said, "You're out." And it stood.
And a judge ruled.
But why he said he's out to me is really interesting because ultimately, this could have been you lied in your visa application. It could have been very technical and said, "Look, you lied in the visa. The visa wasn't correct. We're going to throw you out." That's not what they did. What they did was they made it much more of a public policy issue that he is an anti-vaxxer who got COVID, lied, or withheld that information, did a photo shoot with people putting them at risk.
They called him a public health risk.
And
you're threatening the
But it was in the public's best interest not to have him there.
So it wasn't what he did to get into the country. It's what he did before he even tried to get into the country that got him booted from the country. And that's really interesting. Well,
all I know is whoever wins the Australian Open, it's like not even a real match.
No.
Like if you can't play against
there
all
will be
of the
an
best.
Asterisk. Yes. And it's critical,
it's
too,
true.
Because he right now is the biggest moment in men's tennis. They each have 20 Grand Slam titles, Nadal, Federer, and Djokovic. So each tournament, as they get older, matters more and more. Who's going to hold that record? And you're right. Now we don't get to see the three top tennis players.
And he's out for 3 years.
That's the most incredible part.
He's banned for 3 years.
Why for 3 years?
That's the rule. That's the rule. It's 3 years.
I mean, he will challenge that for sure. He's not going to be excluded for 3 years without going down without a fight.
That's intense.
His challenges are like Trump's challenges in court. Yeah. I mean, he just keeps losing. So here's my question about it. I'm fascinated by this. So now you've got the Prime Minister of Australia saying, as a public policy matter, we want this anti-vaxxer out of the country. You've got Macron in France saying, screw these people. I don't care that they're pissed off. If they're not getting vaccinated, they're not part of our society. Essentially, he's saying that by banning them from restaurants, sporting events, concerts, all of that. And so you've got leaders in different countries that are saying, screw you if you're anti-vax.
Countries with majors, too. You're right. The French Open is coming up. What is Novak Djokovic going to do?
Well, my question
Kyrie
is...
Kyrie Irving sat out half the season.
What's America going to do? That's my question. What's... You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday who was saying... who has been responsible and said, look, I am... You know, he's vaccinated. He's boosted. He's careful. Now he's saying, I'm sick of it. I've had a year and a half... I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I'm just going to go out and live my life.
It's really frustrating.
But I think a lot of people are saying that now. They're saying, I'm just not going to be the way this person put it, hostage because of people who refuse to get vaccinated. I mean, we're still at 62%, and it just doesn't seem like it's going to get much higher than that. So at a point, should America do what France and Australia is doing?
Yeah, I think that's the question. You're right. An increasing segment of our population is sick of it because we were dangled the prospect of freedom again once we got vaxxed, once we got boosted. Some of us are doing every step, and we don't want to be cooped up anymore.
When it first happened, they were like, oh, we're going to be in lockdown for 2 weeks. Yep. Everyone thought this was going to end in 2 weeks.
We didn't even get cameras at home until
I know.
No, it's true.
But I think at this point, we realize it's not going away. I think originally there was kind of like this... theory that if you got vaccinated, you won't get the virus at all. But now we know that if you are vaccinated, you can still get the virus. So at this point, it's like, all right, got to move on with my life.
But it really keeps you out of hospitals if you get the vaccine. That's
right.
The thing where I get determined because if you're
not going to be
because
sick.
If we do just open it up, these people are still going to go wherever they want. They have fake vax cards. So you have to think about the healthcare workers.
So what are we going to do? I mean, right now the Supreme Court has already said to Biden, you can't order employers of more 100 and more. In fact, it wasn't even mandatory vaccines. It was you can get vaccinated or tested. I'm wondering, why not just say, if you're not vaccinated, you can't go here, you can't go there. At a point, why aren't we doing what France and other countries are doing? Why not?
Because we take liberty, individual liberty, very seriously here in a way that other countries
but
don't. I mean, this is America.
This is
America. Have you seen all the viral videos of people going crazy just that they can't even walk in with on a mask somewhere?
I know, but at a point, the same thing is going on in France. And they had small riots because of it even. And Macron held his ground and said, screw it. If you don't get vaccinated, we're not gonna make the people who are vaccinated suffer in life.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big question because the people who take certain stances and very strong stances here in this country will get voted out of office by the other people and it'll go back and forth. So it's hard to have a coherent, stable policy moving forward because if, let's say, Biden took that stance, he might be voted out because everyone who doesn't want it would be very motivated to go to the polls and vote him out of office. And then you'd have the other extreme and it would go back and forth. And that's a problem. During a pandemic, you just need science.
Definitely. I mean, I'm vaccinated, boosted, the whole thing, but I just don't believe in the mandates. I don't think you can force somebody to do something like that, especially when it's involving a vaccine in your body. I think people should make their own decision and whether their decision is wrong. I mean, that's on them at a point. You can only
control
what
other
you
people.
Do.
It harms other people.
So, mm-hmm.
But if you're vaccinated, does it really harm you?
But you have to think of the kids that can't get vaccinated too, though.
Well, yeah, no. That's different, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
But the people who were just saying we refuse to, I mean, look, we've got so many restrictions right now. You see what's going on in our office right now, where we've got, a minimal crew right now and everything else. So basically, we're working around basically mostly unvaccinated people who have caused this health crisis.
Yeah.
And at a point, I mean, I know what you're saying about individual liberties, but I mean, really?
Yeah, at a point, the majority has to sort of be able to take control of your civilization.
And it ain't just about science anymore. And even the CDC doesn't view it as
it's
just
so
about
political
science.
Now.
On like smaller levels too. Like my family is so torn over this. Like everyone's got different views. My family usually gets together for Uno, but there's like there's people in my family that don't want to get vaccinated, and of course there's like the opposite where everyone's like vaccinated and boosted. They like don't want to.
Oh my gosh,
and,
the holidays were so hard. It's like
oh
what
my
side
gosh,
of,
I know.
Like, don't get in a corner
I
to talk about
three
politics.
Christmases for my small one-sided family. Like yeah. It's too much.
Won't someone please think of the Neff family Uno game? I mean, that's the argument that hasn't been stated.
Okay,
yet.
Last thing. Another celebrity couple hit hard in Hollywood. Lori Loughlin and Massimo Giannelli, they were burglarized and to the tune of $1 million.
It's
what
wild.
What is happening?
Well, I have I'm sure Harvey has thought of this as well. Lori Loughlin and Massimo have to apply, essentially, ask the court for permission to leave the country, right? And
right.
we do those stories. Those are public
because
records.
They're
felons.
Absolutely.
Like
they're
holidays.
Felons. They're on supervised release, and they need permission to go certain places. And we've seen they've asked for permission to go to Mexico for holidays. What that is a roadmap sometimes for criminals to know when you're not home. You know, you've heard these things about don't post on social media when you're away from your house because you can be targeted.
Yeah.
And I think that could be related. Who knows whether it actually is in this case? But the thieves are apparently like a roving band of South American thieves, potentially.
That's what the police think. But, you know, it's like some and it's unclear because the way we report it, and maybe this is wrong on our part, is that we keep reporting these celebrity burglaries. It's not just celebrities. This
it's
is a real problem.
Anybody that has a big, beautiful home that
even
looks like they can have
something in there.
They
can still, it's still happening. It's so insane.
It's happening
right
a lot.
Yeah. Every single...
I mean, gated communities are not as safe as everybody thinks that they are. In fact,
adds a layer of, like, comfort. But in reality, like, everyone's exposed to being burglarized or even robbed on the street.
I don't know about how much comfort you get anymore. Now you're sort of a target. You want to live in sort of a modest house that is comfortable for
I'm
you, but not
I
necessarily
like,
a target.
I'm happy I'm in, like, an apartment building.
Yeah,
I can't imagine
safe.
If I had, like, a beachfront, beautiful mansion. I would feel scared.
Yeah, it's a problem in L.A. Particularly, we've had these sort of crime waves. Outside of my house this weekend, someone was attacked on my house. I live in a very safe street ordinarily, so you see it more and more. Now I know people will tell you, Jason told us that the numbers don't back this up, the statistics, but the feel of being in Los Angeles feels different now. And Harvey, you've been here for decades.
Yeah, I mean, I have a question about that. I mean, you saw somebody attacked?
Yes, outside of our house on Ring cameras.
Can I ask you something? How could you see it? Ring over him. That very high fence that you have on your street.
Wow, we're
that
doing
that perfectly
this?
Legal fence. How dare you, Harvey? I should bring up my business.
Wow.
I don't know why you do that to yourself.
I know.
He's going to bring it up every single time.
I knew that was coming
time.
For some reason. I thought he might have sympathy.
You have to think of some kind of comeback for Harvey. Whenever he goes there, you have to think of like, well, Harvey, what about your X, Y, and Z?
Okay, Charlie, that's about
all we have.
We will talk to you Wednesday, folks.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.